Good morning, Monsignor.
Good morning, Chris. What a beautiful, beautiful day.
It is, and it's been just extraordinary, the great gift that you provided for us in helping us to grow deeper in our prayer life.
I've been taking the church's liturgical prayer, morning prayer and evening prayer. There's so much, it's so vast. It's like trying to come to terms with an elephant. It's just so huge, so that there's so many parts and centers to it. Yet there's a heart to it, and there's a center to it that makes all the church's prayer, in every time we pray, quite simple. There's a simplification and an understanding of the liturgical year, of the liturgical seasons. Of the liturgical day, and so it's like it has a center to it each day. Each time we pray, we actually enter into the heart of Jesus Christ. What is eternal life? To know thee, the only true God, and him whom you have sent. To know thee, the only true God, God the Father, and him whom you have sent. This knowledge is what has us enter into eternal life. And so eternal life is not going to be only after we die. It's not just something that's for the future, but you and I can live eternal life now. And as we get more deeply into it, that's exactly what a mystic is. A mystic is someone who is actually living the divine life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are living in union with Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, who guides us into this new life that is within each one of us. Paul in Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 20 says, "I live, no, not I, but Christ lives in me. So that coming forth from me, being in me, you're hearing my voice and I'm speaking, but it is the Spirit who gives me this life. It's in union with the Holy Spirit that I can live in union with him who is in me. He, Jesus, is always offering glory, praise, honor, thanksgiving, petitions to the Father. He's always doing that. And in every human being all over the world, but especially in his body, the church, through our union with him, he is the head and we are the members, we are glorifying God throughout the entire universe. Glory is now going up to the Father as you and I are speaking. Between Pennsylvania and Omaha is going up to the Father from the United States. And then from every person in North America. And how magnificently your technology is putting us in tune with that. Just a little bit of our awareness through technology of what is going on in grace. And this union that we have with every other member of the body of Christ. And I can actually, in my heart, through the power of the Holy Spirit, be united with you and with them by the life that's in me, eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's described as a life of love. once I enter into that life of love, I am in union with every other baptized member of the body of Christ throughout the world. That, as we pray, becomes a very powerful force for evangelization. Then I got a couple of inquiries after and was reflecting on, we kind of have high-powered petrol, high-powered gasoline when we soup it up with fasting. You know, the energy of the Holy Spirit increases. This kind of power that pours out from us when it's united with fasting and prayer. Then that, and when they were asking me, well, what about the fasting? But it's that the Holy Spirit invites us into the fasting. So now the fasting is combined with the prayer. Now, Jesus, at the central act of his life, he lived for 30 years in his home in Nazareth, in that quiet life that we call the hidden life. After his childhood, he and Joseph and Mary. And then he lived those 3 years in his public life. And as he terminated his public life, he is now going to summarize his whole life in his Paschal mystery. And that's what we had been talking about, the Holy Thursday, Good Friday. Now, on that Thursday night supper, when he gave us the Eucharist at that Last Supper, there's a long discourse in John's Gospel, chapter 14 and 15 and 16. And there at that, so much richness in, here he is, I'm about to leave you. I want to instruct you. Now, he's going to be leaving us, and he's going to give us this last discourse. And the magnificence of those, and the richness of chapter 14, 15, I am the vine, you are the branches, remain in me and I in you. We have come together. And then I'm going to have to leave you, but I'll send the Holy Spirit. And then the magnificent chapter 17 is a prayer that comes right from the heart of Jesus. This prayer sums up like the whole priestly caste of the Old Testament. So much of the Old Testament is being fulfilled in Jesus, who has come to offer sacrifice for the salvation of all of mankind. When we listen to this prayer, the heart of Jesus is praying. And this prayer is such a powerful summation that pours forth from the heart of Jesus. Now, as I pray it with you, this is the 17th chapter. Jesus is praying this prayer, and I might just kind of once in a while comment, but the language is so magnificent. When Jesus had said this, that is the discourse of the Last Supper, he raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father. Now we're at the very center of the Trinity. Jesus, the second person, is praying to his Father. And this is an eternal prayer. This is eternal life. Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that your Son may glorify you. Just as you gave him authority over all people, so that he may give eternal life to all you gave him. So that's that eternal life is not after we die and go to heaven. I give you this life now. All people, he's praying for, so that he may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. I glorify you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now, glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began. So now Jesus, the Son of God, has come into the world, and he wants to be glorified now in this world with the glory he had with the Father before he had come to earth. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me. So now these are those who are around him, and they have kept your word. Now they know you, that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave to me, I have given to them, so that what you have taught me, I have taught them. And they accepted them and truly understood that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world, while I am coming to you. So now we're going to have an understanding that of the world, what it is that is worldly, that is not really of God. But they are going to be in this world, but they belong to you. And in the world, I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, that they may, that you have given me, so that they may be one, just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me, and I guarded them, and none of them was lost except the son of destruction, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world. Now, that's just not that first century world, but it's now. I speak this in the world, so that they may share in my joy, and completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world any more then I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Now here is the very important word. Consecrate them in the truth. Now when that person asked you, you know, what is it contemplative? What is holiness? And now Jesus is saying, consecrate them in the truth. When something is consecrated, it's like you consecrate this and it's for God. It belongs to God. It's separated from this world. So it's consecrated. Now what he has done with you in your baptism, with Bruce, with me, with every person who's been baptized and confirmed, consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. And you sent me into the world so that I sent them into the world. So now you have been baptized and confirmed, and I and ordained, we're sent into the world and we're consecrated. And I consecrate myself for them. So now Jesus, in this high priest, this goes all the way so deep into the roots of Judaism, as it goes way back, that every Jewish high priest would consecrate at the Feast of the Atonement, he would consecrate the whole community to God, so that all the sins that had been committed during the year would be atoned for. At one-ment, it would be all that they had done against God. Now he's bringing them all back and consecrating them through this high priest and what he would do. Now, in the book of Leviticus, this is done now. This is our high priest, Jesus Christ. And now he, once and for all, and I consecrate myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth. So now he has prayed for us, is praying for us, that we may be consecrated in truth. Was it only those apostles? I pray not only for them, also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and me. He has prayed for us. And so we are consecrated in the truth through the word that we have received, so that they may also be one. Now this unity that we have is in Christ. Remain in me. You see, Jesus Christ is, as John and his gospel begins the gospel with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh. So what he's speaking here is the consecration in truth and in the Word. It's not just a spoken word. It's him. He is our unity. He who became one with us in the flesh has now made us one with him in the body, in his body. Jesus Christ, made come in the flesh, has united us and consecrated us with him and through him and in him, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me. The same unity in the Trinity that the Father has with Jesus, and I in you, you and I, are in one with each other, that they also may be one in us. Wow. So that the evangelization is taking place through the prayer of Jesus Christ. That prayer is in us also to pray. As he is in the Father, and the Father is in him, so he is in me. And when I pray, and I am united, this is so key to Christian prayer. I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me. And I was sharing that with you about this family that's so fractured. You know, the hatreds between brothers and sisters and the conflicts and the divorce between this husband and wife and the parents and children. And the terrible. When I would come to each one and probe them more deeply into the heart, where Jesus resided in each one of them, I could begin to see that the source of unity in that family that was so apparently divided. And as we began to pray, so how many families who will be hearing this, you know, you mothers and fathers, that wouldn't you love your children to love one another with this kind of unity? And husbands and wives, you are called upon to love one another as Christ has loved the church in Ephesians. The depth of unity that exists in the love of a husband and wife is the unity of the Father with the Son and the Son with the Father, so that you, in your marriage, are one in Christ, and that the brothers and sisters and the children, as so this is not only for natural families of, you know, black families and Native American families and Mexican families. No, it's, we are not one in the blood of Adam and Eve. We are one in the blood and the spirit of Jesus Christ. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one. So that this is a progressive and formational, constantly going on kind of love for all of mankind. Can you imagine what it is that this prayer will bring about eventually? That the Jews and the Arabs will have love for one another, forgiveness for all the murder and all the horrors that have been carried on, all the hatreds. This is our true God, and this is the prayer that God, who is God, is truth. God, who is God, is love. Can you imagine the kinds of unity now that are, it could and would take place when we talk about the love of racial that has divided us according to races? The love is not just a surfacey kind of love. I think Martin Luther King said once to someone, he said to him, you know, I don't want to be your brother-in-law. And Martin Luther King said, I don't want to be your brother-in-law. I want to be your brother, because we have one Father. So it's not through marriage or interracial marriage that unity is going to come. We have, mestizoids, you know, the mixture of the races in Hawaii, in South America, blacks and whites, you know, intermingle. It's not that kind of unity. It's that unity and love, that they may be one and brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me. There is going to be a unity of love for the entire universe. And Jesus, the King of Love, is going to bring it about. This is what his kingdom is. And that you love them even as you love me. God, our Creator, loves everyone as he has loved Jesus. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me. Now, the power of this prayer, absolutely have no fear that the world is going to sing in harmony with one another. What we are doing is with an interior disposition of certitude, that as Jesus has prayed this, it will be. He has prayed it with the power of God, the Father, who wills it. He has prayed it with the heart of Jesus, the King of Love. And now he is praying it with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as it goes over the whole world in an avalanche, an outpouring of divine love. It will be that they may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you have loved me before the foundation of the world. This is big. This is enormous. The one who made the entire universe is willing and desirous and wanting that every human being become one with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known. I will make it known that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. That has been prayed by the heart of Jesus. That is being prayed by the heart of Jesus. And when each time we celebrate the Eucharist, since it is the suffering, this is the Last Supper, Holy Thursday, and the death, Good Friday, and Easter, this will always be the summation of that prayer. The power of Jesus' heart as he pours it out to the Father and to us and consecrates us in this power. This is what liturgy is. The source and the power. We always pray through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, world without end. Amen. And so this beautiful day, this is one of those days where the progression is going to go out through us. The power that is within us is his heart praying this. When you pick up your prayer book, if you get in tune with this power that is within you, I in them, they in me. What power is that? Because I am in him who sent me. And now I am in you who are pouring out your prayer. And so when you feel like it as you pray today, to reach out to God with outstretched arms, with the power and certitude and confidence of the heart of Jesus, that every word you utter, every prayer you offer, will bring about the glory of God. God is glorified. What did Jesus want? I want to be glorified on earth as I was in heaven. And I also want to save those and redeem those who are in this world, that they may be one in us. That magnificent power that's taking place, I feel like even as I speak, the whole multitude of angels is surrounding us and pouring out upon this message of eternal life that goes out from the heart of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a magnificent prayer?
It is, Monsignor. And what really jumped out at me as well when you were speaking was the fact that when we remain in him, he draws all of us. And we limit ourselves if we stay in a linear mindset when we think it's just at this moment or even of this world, because it's all who have remained in him.
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Death
yeah.
doesn't diminish that communion. And is that what the communion of saints, is that what that's all about?
It's powerful, yes. You see, the little flower, St. Teresa, is your contemporary as you pray this. This is all contemporaneously going on. You know, the time factor here ceases, so that we can be one with Peter, Paul. We can be one with the second century and the third century. It's a powerful means of uniting us as one family, as eternal life.
Mm. Is that, when you say contemporary, it reminds me of contemplative. I mean, is that in its sense, our prayer, a contemplative prayer, is that it is your, everything becomes one in him.
Yes.
There is, all of those who are suffering in purgatory now. I mean, we're still united to them in a very real way, aren't we?
Well, just take the message of Fatima. When she took those three little children and she went to purgatory. Where is that? And so where did she take them? Where are those souls that are alienated from God? You see, they're probably a half inch away from you if you would begin to see them as she wanted them to see. And what is that? That it, when we measured according to the measurements of this world, what's the distance? The distance is, I am not in him. That's what makes us alienated. In fact, maybe it's even in the same place. When you look at the souls who are in, they may be in the same place that the people who are in heaven are, but they don't see who they are. They don't see what's in them. Can you imagine the horror of actually having Jesus in you and not being able to see Jesus in you? Because you're blind by your disbelief, or you're blind or sick because of your lack of trust or your lack of love and your lack of relationship. You see what the word contemplative does now for you? You can contemplate that here is, when I was with that family, you know, I was really seeing the anger and the distance that was between the brothers and sisters because they weren't seeing Christ in each other. They couldn't possibly look at Jesus in one another and still be one with them.
And yet they were sitting right next to each other.
Yes.
And they couldn't see each other, not really.
Yeah, but, and so the purgatory is when you die in that disposition and you're alienated from your brother. When my cousin died and her husband was sitting there and they were all coming to love each other in Christ, the many years that they had spent was really their purgatory on earth because they didn't see Christ in one another. And then the scales falling from your eyes when you look at the same person and now see Jesus in that other person. Now that becomes heaven. That becomes eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and him whom you have sent. Well, who is that that was in one another? It was him. I in them, they in me. When you reject me in your brother, you're rejecting me. And that's the beginning of death here in this world. Life in this world is to see with those eyes of Jesus and to see one another and to hear one another in each other.
It's really quite stunning when you think in those terms, because it's a, you know, Mother Teresa seeing Jesus in everyone,
yeah.
Or even the little flower. I guess my heart's jumping to the little flower who said she wanted to spend her heaven helping us on earth.
Yes.
And if we are one in Christ, if we are one in Jesus, remain in him, she is very present here, because that's part of the experience of heaven then, is remaining in him. And if we're in him, then we're all united from all times and all eternity. Is that a stretch, Monsignor?
So beautiful. No, it's just perfect. Mother Teresa was going down to see the Pope one day, and she was going to get a piece of property from our Holy Father. He was going to sign over a piece of property for their sisters to feed the poorest of the poor, whom she believed were in Christ and Christ was in them. And she really strongly believed that Jesus was in the poorest of the poor. And this was an enormous thing that was going to happen for her community and for her. But as she was going down, there was someone dying in the streets, a homeless man, just laying on the road, dying. And she had them stop the car, and she was with the man. And, of course, dying takes a while. She was there for a couple hours. And pretty soon the sisters were agitated and said to her, "Mother, you're going to miss your visit with the Pope." She said, "You go and leave me here. Come back later. You visit with him." And she said, "What shall we tell him?" She said, "Tell him I'm with Jesus." Mm-hmm. You know, the Pope is the vicar of Christ. But here, dying in the streets, the poorest of the poor, was Jesus. That's who she saw. And mm-hmm. she later on did get that property, but her awareness of who this person was. That's what I think in that contemporary, contemplative awareness, that I'm really talking to Jesus when I talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really talking to Jesus when I'm talking to anyone who's going to listen to this, that you are Jesus. you are baptized, and in him. And in him, he is there and wants to be awakened for you to see him in yourself. The Father looks at you, whatever you might think of yourself right now, however you might have turned this on, who are you? You are Jesus. And as you begin to open your eyes to the awareness of the beauty that lies within you, could you really love me that much, God, Father? Yes. You are my baptized child. In you I live. Now. And as you begin to see Jesus in yourself, then your eyes become his eyes. And your heart, the heart of Jesus, is full of love. And he reveals that love to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And your heart begins to be inflamed with divine love.
How can you leave that? You know, that moment of encounter. I mean, in that prayer, you would never want to leave. I don't. Do you know what I'm trying to say, Monsignor?
You never do leave it. You actually remain in, and that's even the instruction that leads up to that prayer. Remain in me. And I in you, and you will bear much fruit. You will never leave it. It's like pulling the plug out. Some people have this life? But this is not just to sustain your life. This is to give you eternal life. Mm-hmm. If there was a machine that you could plug in and receive this eternal life, that's what baptism is. And that water that baptized you is really the heart of Jesus, the water that comes from his side, joining you, uniting you to him. And when you go to Holy Communion, that's that blood of Jesus uniting you to Jesus through the Eucharist. So that this oneness with him, now the offering of that, through the mind and the heart and the thoughts, that's really what contemplation is. And it's 24 hours, 7 days a week, always, for the rest of your life. And it's a progressive, it grows deeper and deeper each day, each week, each year. And what is the life? And it was, because you are in the world. You're not taken out of the world. The richness of that prayer is so magnificent. The prayer of Jesus.
Is that when we are able to rest in that? I mean, I could see where, you know, it's not instead of daily Mass, but it's in union with daily Mass, that when we pray the liturgy of the hours, that it helps keep that perpetual union. It's like the touchstone, you know, or when people, and they also pray the rosary, and they meditate and contemplate the stations of the cross, that you can still, believe it or not, get in your car and go to work.
Yeah.
That you can still go to school, you can still clean your house, because you, in those moments, that should be enough to help fuel you so that you can live in the world, that you can be Lumen Gentium, that you can be the light out into the world so that others can be drawn to it.
Yes, yes. But actually, just take any of those things that you mentioned, cleaning your house. For those I love, how much more beautiful it then becomes a labor of love. It's not drudgery. Everything becomes an act of love. Whatever might doing the dishes become an act of love. Doing the cooking becomes an act of love. It doesn't take you from what you're doing. It's just you're doing it more completely, more lovingly, more wholeheartedly for those you're serving. If you're working in a restaurant and you're doing those activities, and anything and everything becomes meaningful. Serving a table becomes meaningful because this is the one you're doing it for. It's the whole service act becomes filled with love and care for one another.
And then it's also, in that same token, listening to the person that irritates you, but with love. Then it can make sense. So the person that aggravates you, like I keep going back to Saint Therese, but it's a great example of the sister that is annoying her. You're able to, because you're so in union with Jesus, that turning the other cheek, it becomes that act of love. Is that a stretch?
Oh no, it's so perfect, right on. When I think of my yesterday's activity, there was someone said something or did something, and I snapped right then. And I thought, oh my goodness, when I thought it over, if I had only taken a moment to really reflect on that, if I only had prayed, but instead I said a harsh word, and it was out there. And all of us, every day, do so many things like that. I woke up this morning and so filled with sorrow that I had done that. Apologized to the Father and apologized to my brother for what I had said. The unity is interrupted when we fail to reflect and pray. And how easy it is then to break the unity in community. And the prayer is that which assists us and helps us.
Remain in me.
And you will bear much fruit. You know what the fruit is that you will have? It's joy, peace. It's not all the things you do and accomplish, like counting them up, and you've got all these acts of sacrifice and all these. No, it's you live a much more joyful life, and peaceful, and loving, and patient, and gentle, and kind, and self-control.
Sounds virtuous.
Yes. They're the fruits.
Any final thoughts, Monsignor?
Well, I really believe that I would like to encourage you, if you're listening, to pick up your scripture and go to that 17th chapter of John's Gospel and pray that in union with Jesus as you prepare and think about, make a resolution to pray your daily office today or to go to Mass.
Wow. Thank you so much, Monsignor Essef.
May the blessing of the Lord be upon you. I bless you in the name of the Lord. May the goodness of the Lord be upon you. I bless you in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.